Hey gang, welcome to Under the Log, the podcast where we talk to men and women who recently completed GORUCK events. Today we're talking to Mike Perrin about his recent Trailblazer Heavy Basic. I know what you're wondering, and yes, Mike is one of the first person to earn the coveted HZB, but we'll let him explain that. Hey, did you know that the Under the Log podcast is put out by the Ruckin Collective? The Ruckin Collective is a collection of websites devoted to the sport of, well, you guessed it, rucking. If you're interested in learning more, you can check us out and see all of our sites over at theruckincollective.com. And just so you don't have to remember it, we'll put that link in the show notes for you. But with that, let's get to chatting with Mike. All right. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming on the show. Honestly, I feel like I'm in a little bit of a rut with my opening question. So I'm going to give you something a little bit different that I haven't given anybody else yet. Food is such a critical component of GORUCK events. Like, food has magical powers in the middle of an event to lift your spirit and the team spirit during like a tough night. So what is your go-to GORUCK event snack that you always pack?
Good afternoon, Ryan. Thanks for having me on here. And to answer your question, without a doubt, my go-to snack for an overnight event is Uncrustables, packaged Uncrustable sandwiches that you can find in your freezer section.
Nice. Like the PB&J style?
Absolutely. I do PB&J, and then there's a peanut butter and hazelnut, which is like a Nutella knockoff. But
okay.
But yeah, that's my go-to.
That's like the upgraded version. There's like peanut butter and jelly, and then there's like, you know, the grown man's version.
Yeah. It throws in a little variety there, but that is my secret weapon.
That's awesome. All right. Well, we let off with something a little bit different. So now I'm just going to get right back in my rut and ask you, just to start off, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, obviously we're going to talk about GORUCK and the role that's played in your life. And then we're going to talk specifically about the Trailblazers event that you did recently. But before we get there, just tell us a little bit about yourself, Mike.
Gotcha. Oh, well, I'm relatively new to the rucking scene. Started this back in 2019. I found rucking by way of a workout group, F3, which is very, mm-hmm. very, you know, entrenched in the rucking community. And started rucking, signed up for my first light, as it was back then. Really loved it. I've done Spartan races and such before, and this rucking event, Cadre Fagan was my first cadre. Mm-hmm. You know, loaded us down, put some heavy weight on us, and just told us to start moving. And it was great to see this team aspect that everybody talks about actually come together. And really, once I did that event, I was hooked, and it was pretty much registered for every event. Whether it be here in my local town of Houston or somewhere close by like San Antonio or Austin. So pretty much put every one of them on the calendar. And then a few of them got COVID scrapped, but, nonetheless, yeah. Really, really got entrenched into, the GORUCK community. And, as Ryan said, you know, completed my first heavy this past week.
Awesome, man. So like starting in 2019 with that first light, I mean, like, do you know how many events you've done, like, ballpark so far?
Official events, you know, not the call-outs or virtuals or everything like that, or, you know, star courses. I did a couple sprints, but actually 7 challenge events comes down to it. Since I was signed up for more, but, yeah, they got COVID. A few of them got COVID scrapped.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you did the light. Did you jump right into some toughs after that, or was it like a couple lights and then you built to tough?
No, I did the light in August, the Extortion 1-7 light, and it was hot as can be here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And just 2 months later in October, jumped into the Moog Mile, and and did that tough. And I was gung-ho for it, but man, I'll tell you right now, it was quite a different experience going from just a light to a tough. And that was a Whiskey Mike Moog Mile Tough, and he was actually boots on the ground Ranger company during the Moog conflict. So he took that one a little personal to heart, which was great. But that last mile, so to say, it was a doozy.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that ever tells me that they did a Moog Mile event, it's just like that. It doesn't matter who the cadre is, where it is. You know that mile's coming, mm-hmm. and it's unbelievable. So
yes,
I have not done the Moog Mile yet, so I feel like that's one that I'm gonna need to experience here in the near future.
Yes, highly recommended, and yeah, just be prepared for that last bit. I believe it was a 52% casualty rate or something like that towards the end. So, man. Yeah. Ugh.
Well, you know, at least you know it's coming.
Yes, you do.
I get, or maybe that's the bad part,
right?
Like all hours leading up to that is just a warm up.
Yes.
So, like you said, for this Trailblazer event, this was your first heavy, which is awesome, man. Like, you know, you've knocked out some lights, you've knocked out some toughs, and now you're like, that's it, I'm going for the heavy. Talk to me about your process of like going for that. Like, when did a heavy become a target for you, and when were you like, you know, yep, this is the time for me to go for it?
I'd say that it happened sometime last year, towards the end of the year. I had done those lights, those toughs, towards the start of the year. Everything was on track. Went out, did a light just for fun at that point. And then COVID hit and everything started to get scaled back. But as soon as things started opening, you know, the training didn't stop with COVID. It still was great. And that's one thing I love about rucking is it's naturally socially distant. You know, not necessarily when you're doing buddy carries or casual carries / tunnel of love, but you know, right. you can go out with buddies and stand 6 feet apart and be outdoors and be active and still adhere to all the standards, whether it be the strictest standards, or not. So
yeah.
The training happened all through 2019. It was when it was released, I said, man, a heavy looks good. You know, I'll put that on the calendar. And, you know, I ended up saying, okay, I'm going to, I looked at the events within my area, and we had a Veterans Day Tough Light Star here in November. And then over in Austin in January, we had the 10-year anniversary Tough. Mm-hmm. And then here in February, we had the Trailblazer Heavy Tough Basic. So, you know, on the calendar, I said, hey, we've got a lot of events here in Houston and Austin and Texas in general that can lead up to this heavy event. And so let's just take it one event at a time and see kind of how I feel. And so that's really how I went about it, Ryan. I went Veterans Day Tough Light and then did the Star Course Sprint the next day and then felt great after that. And then went over to Austin, did the 10-year anniversary Tough with McCarthy cadre in that one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That was a doozy as well. But you know, felt great after that. Felt like I could run that one back, although I didn't want to. Felt like I could. So in my mind, I said, hey, you know, next up on the scale is tackling a heavy for the first time, and came through with it.
Whew, that's awesome, man. So you sign up, you've prepared, you've got your mind right, you feel like physically you've got what it takes to make it through the heavy. Mm-hmm. So if I remember correctly in talking to you, you know, before this, you had actually planned to go for the HTB on this one, right?
I did.
Okay.
I did, yeah.
And I know you got the heavy, so obviously something happened that caused it not to be the HTB for you. So what went down, man?
It was about an hour, I would say probably 13, 14 hours in. I know this just because I'm tracking when we started around 6 p.m. And this is, you know, shortly after sun had come up. So sunrise, mm-hmm. 6:30-ish. I started limping on my left leg. And I think what I had done is I had just strained something under my knee, some type of muscle, tendon or something. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually I found out it was a little bit of tendonitis slash, you know, really tweaked my MCL there. But, I was limping around and one of the GRTs asked me, was like, do you usually walk like this? And then I was like, no, I don't. I'm just, you know, hurting a little bit. And, you know, that kind of cascaded to where, you know, it was really hurting me, right about hour 18. I'd mm-hmm. say six hours till we hit that 24 mark. I was really starting to feel it, definitely under some weight. So there was a lot of things hurting at that point, but, you know, nothing that I couldn't handle, but just kind of repetitively walking on this knee that was swelling and swelling and swelling, was getting tiresome. And so when we finished, you know, we had a good transition team. So some buddies of mine, they went on to do the tough. They ended up actually getting their bolts. But we went back and we were, you know, everybody was changing clothes and getting some food in them. And I was sitting down eating and I was actually next up on the rotation to go shower. And I tried to stand up and my knee had completely locked out and it had swollen up like a grapefruit. So, yeah. And so we put some ice on it, tried to get the swelling down. And there was, you know, at that point, there was no way I could possibly go out there and do the PT. I could try to limp along and carry stuff, but you know, it wouldn't have been pretty to that extent. So not only would I probably have hurt myself in the PT, I definitely would have slowed the pace up and I would probably been the worst gray man ever. So I told myself, you know, the tough is not for me. And I said, you know, we'll get another one. There'll be another opportunity down the line.
Yeah. You know, pretty much the whole back half of that heavy, you're dealing with this. Did you feel like in the back of your mind, were you like, yeah, like, first off, I guess, did you think that you were going to make it to the end of the heavy? And then, like, did you already know at that point that you're probably not making the tough? Or was it like, I'm just going to keep busting through until a stretcher comes out? Like what was going on mentally there?
Mentally was, you know, if I can keep my footing, you know, pretty stable and shift weight around, it was my left knee that was bothering me. So I was trying to put as much weight as I could on my right side, which, you know, happened to, if I wasn't carrying a sandbag, I was under a litter load. And so I was usually trying to carry that on my right shoulder, just as a, you know, putting weight down on it. And in my mind, I'm thinking I can bust through this. I can get there, you know, I'm already X amount of hours in. I've got a short term, you know, in my mind, I've got a short little break till we get there. I'm not even thinking about the tough at this point. I'm taking it one event at a time and saying, you know, we've come this far. This team's working. We can make it. Let's push on through. And so that was kind of my drive there. Quitting didn't even phase in. I said, you know, I'm going to get that heavy batch and then we'll take it one step at a time to the next event.
Nice. I like that. I believe also though, despite your, you know, cantaloupe sized knee, you actually did show back up for the basic though, didn't you?
I did. I had wrapped this thing in ice, you know, tried to get the swelling to go down, which it did, to a point, where I was kind of hobbling along and I really made that basic call, you know, about 2 hours before it started. Cause those guys came back in from the tough, the actual rally point was at my place downtown. And So I had these guys show up with the support team to come hop in my shower while I've got ice on my knees here in bed. And, you know, they're all saying, hey, we can do this. We can do this. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm feeding off their energy. I said, all right. All right. So, you know, I at that point I said, I'm going to go out and we're going to do a basic. And And at that point, you know, I'm thinking it's still kind of structured like the lights of old, which it's not anymore. Yeah. It's very much more of a discipline of a tough than it is a fun for the whole family type event, which a lot of lights have been in the past. So, you know, in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, it'll be a light. We can get through this. You know, it's a 6 hours tops. And it turned out to be a pretty grueling 6 hours with that kind of limping along. You know, but again, we had about 44 GRTs coming out there. Didn't have any drops, so we had a lot of weight to disperse around. It was a very heavy light, so to say. It's the first light, or I'm sorry, basic that I've seen some 80-pound sandbags being used in. So
yeah,
so fun for the whole family. But we were able to kind of disperse it, move it around. Team came together, and that last little mile, I was sweating bullets, limping along, looking terrible. If anybody's got video recordings, I'm definitely looking pretty rough. But it ended up, you know, again, turning the switch off in my mind and plowing on through and coming away with a basic patch. So in essence, I got my first HZB going on there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you were there, so you would know for sure, but I think you might be the first person to earn the HZB.
I think there was one other guy that came back and did the basic. I don't think he was injured. I think he needed some sleep. yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. Here, you have it here, folks, on the Under the Log podcast, one of the very first HZB patch earners here. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
We've got more of our conversation with Mike, one of the very first HZBers, in just a minute, but I wanted to remind you that the Under the Log podcast is part of the Rucking Collective, a collection of websites devoted to the sport of rucking. If you want to learn more and see all the sweet sites that we're running, visit theruckingcollective.com. We'll throw a link in the show notes so you can check it out later. And I guess with that, let's get back to chatting with Mike. But no, I mean, that really is, that really is something. You know, you're facing this pretty big physical challenge. You know, I was chuckling hearing about your fellas coming to the house, and you know, they're all amped up, and I could just see you like all wrapped up, and you're starting to get amped up, and you're like, yeah, let's do this, and you're just like hobbling out the door.
Yeah,
like, that's so great.
It really was like that. And Ryan, they came in and they said, you're gonna be all right, and I looked at him and I said, yeah, you know what, let's do this. And I popped some ibuprofen or Tylenol, I'm not sure what it was, but some type of pain reliever. And then I walked over and I grabbed you know, this is what, 10, 11 in the morning. So walked over, grabbed my whiskey bottle and a whiskey glass, and poured myself a nice glass of whiskey to kind of get a little more mentally prepared for that basic.
As a disclaimer, folks, we do not recommend taking ibuprofen and whiskey as a solution to get through your event.
No, but, it's not.
Apparently that worked for Mike.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. I mean, obviously, like, you wanted the HTB, like you wanted to, that's what you signed up for. And you sound like the kind of guy that like, I want to make it through this. So obviously, you know, your body was fighting against you, and you weren't able to get the bolts.
Right.
Like, how did that feel, and how have you processed that?
It's a little bit, it's kind of defeating. You know, you train for the bolts, and that's what I was going for. I was looking at each event individually, in a sense, but also as a collective. And you know, going that the goal is not to just complete the heavy. The goal is to get the bolts and go all the way through. Mm-hmm. But injuries are just something that, unfortunately, they suck. They suck even more when they happen to you. But you know, when you're out there and you're slugging on through, and your knee's just throbbing and swollen up, you know, there's that mental mental lap where you think, man, could I have made that decision differently? And I go back and I thought about that actually a couple of days out, because it was a little bit depressed, you know, but I'm there seeing my buddies get patched up, and man, congrats to them. But, you know, in the back of my mind saying, hey, could I have slugged through that? But when I was thinking about that, I was, you know, I was trying to put some weight on my left knee, and it wasn't having it. And I said, no, I'm, you know, I think I made the right decision. And that was confirmed when I went to the doctor Monday. And
and he was like, what the hell did you do over the weekend?
Yeah. And if anybody's got a good recommendation for a doctor that understands rucking in Houston, Texas, shout him out to me. But I had to spend about 20 minutes describing why I signed up to put a 50-pound plus ruck on my back and carry 80-pound, 120-pound sandbags, you know, coupons, the like. Not for a few minutes like he thought we were doing a Spartan race or something, but, you know, for hours upon hours. So that was an interesting detail. But no, when he came back and said, hey, listen, you're at an extreme strain / minor sprain. So the next few days will detail if you need an MRI. You know, that in my mind, I said, okay, cool. Not only did I think I made the right decision, the doctor here is saying that I came very close to having some permanent damage going on. So it was a good call, but
and that's, I think that's one of the challenging things, in events like this is knowing when to say, you know what, I need to step out. Mm-hmm. Like, because so much about GORUCK events and things like this, it's all about pushing you beyond your limits.
Right.
You know, it's you think that you know, can't do 40 miles or carry the 100 pounds another, you know, five blocks or whatever, but like, do it.
Yeah.
And so when you really embrace that mentality, it's hard to know when to set that aside, because like, you know, my wife, graciously reminds me, like, you know, when you come back, you still got three kids and me and a job, and like, you got to get the kids to soccer practice. Like, this isn't my life. This is my hobby.
Yes.
So like finding that point of like, just being okay with like, no, you know what? The smarter thing for right now is to sit this one out. I just think that's so hard. It's so hard to do that.
Yeah, it definitely was a tough call. And I mean, if this was maybe a hand injury or something like that, that was just kind of plaguing me where I could, you know, maybe get around using it and such, it might have been all right. Or if it was just an ache, but the fact that I could barely even walk, let alone, you know, stand up, you know, and I had about four guys in my apartment kind of looking at me and kind of assessing it. And, you know, for them, when I tried to stand up and really couldn't, they said, no, that's probably a good idea. And, of course my buddies really wanted me to come out, but you know, I think they kind of lightened up and said, hey, you know, you really look like poo. So your knee looks even worse. So, it's definitely a tough decision, but sometimes you just got to listen to your body. And I know the mantra of January for GORUCK was seek pain, and that's cool. But I'm a big believer in there's smart pain and there's dumb pain. You know, going out and blowing out your knee, that's just dumb pain right there. So
Absolutely. So, I mean, outside of just the challenge of the physical pain of your knee for like 12 hours, was the heavy, like what you thought it would be? Like you had done the toughs, you had done the tough lights, and now it's like, all right, I'm stepping into the 24-hour arena. How did it live up to kind of what you had it as in your mind?
It surprised me. And I don't know if it's because, you know, every event kind of brings a little bit of different flair, going into 2021, you know, they kind of revamped the events a little bit, a little less mileage, a little more PT was kind of what the, you know, the mission statement was here for 2021. They delivered on that. You know, you really don't know what to expect. You read some AARs and you're like, oh, cool. About 12 hours in, you know, they took a coupon away or they took one of the 120s away from this group. And you're like, oh, maybe that'll happen to us. And that was terrible, terrible to read because ours was complete opposite of that. You know, you can read all you want, but you know, you do a tough in 12, 13 hours and they call it and you're like, all right, it's done. It's that 12, 13 hour hump when you get over for the heavy. I think that's a huge part because right there you'd be done in a normal tough, but you know, 12 hours into it, you're like, oh, hey, I got to run this back again. So yeah, that was a big hump there was the getting through the timing.
Yeah. It's a long time. 24 hours is a long time.
It is. It is a long time to be underweight. And it's a long time when they add weight to it. When they did the cadre change for our Trailblazer event, they actually brought in, they brought in litters to move the weight more efficiently. But with that, they also came in, I think, with six, seven more sandbags, like two 80s, and then a slew of 60s. So
I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it added a little mental, not only physical suck factor, but a little mental suck factor that, hey, you know, cadre shift change, great. Here's the new guys. And they brought with them more weight for us. So the heavy just got heavier.
I don't think I've ever had a shift change bring better conditions.
Yeah.
Like the new cadre comes in, he's like, I'm not even tired yet.
Right.
You're like, oh crap. talk to me a little bit about the Trailblazer event as an event. Like, I'm not sure if this was the first Trailblazer event or not. Do you know if it was the first one that they've done?
This was the inaugural Trailblazer event. So
okay.
They really wanted to, I think this was an idea that Whiskey Mike passed around to Mocha. Mocha and Whiskey kind of got together and they said, hey, let's do this in February for Black History Month, you know, kind of honoring the minority units throughout military history. And it was a great event. But yes, this one ended up being the inaugural one. So a lot of us were amped about it. Hey, this is cool. This is inaugural Trailblazer event, HTB, but we had no idea what to expect and you know how it was going to be led.
Yeah. So I love the amount of effort that cadre has put into educating us, not just putting us through pain. So anytime that there is a themed event that's related to a battle or something like that, like I always come away with so much more appreciation for what occurred because of the cadres. Like, were there any stories about the different groups of the Trailblazers that like stuck out to you throughout the event that they covered?
You know, there was a lot of information that came out and they really started chronologically with the Buffalo Soldiers and then they worked their way up to, you know, through the Tuskegee Airmen, through the 2nd Ranger Company. And they really went into details for each. You know, I had no idea that the Buffalo Soldiers got their nickname for the tenacity of how they fought rather than appearance, you know. So they dove into you know, their Silver Star record for each regiment for their Purple Hearts that they awarded. And it was really amazing to hear. And they did this, you know, throughout the night, and they hammered it in some of these with some wads. So they came out and they hit us with, you know, a wad, right at probably about hour 14, 15, but they did that at the National, Buffalo Soldier Museum here in Houston. So we got to be real familiar with that parking lot, and it was in commemoration for the 9 Silver Stars earned by the 2nd Ranger Company and the 100 Purple Hearts that they had. And so so we had 9 different exercises of 25 reps each for 4 rounds.
Yep,
and that one was a smoker. You know, ranging from Russian twists burpee rucks, ruck squats, I think ruck overhead squats, ruck presses. Good God, it was just a lineup, you know, exercise, 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 exercise. And when you finished one, it was like back to the next round, and it was just like, oh my gosh. So,
and so y'all did that though at the parking lot of the Buffalo Soldiers. There's a museum there.
There's a museum here, yes, in downtown. So we did that there, and it was a smoker.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I guess didn't get to go in the museum and take a look around or anything.
No, they adhered. Well, not at that time. No, they didn't want us to spend too much time there, but they did end up getting a private tour for it at the end of the basic, following the basic. So from from 6 to 8 on Sunday, because this was Saturday morning we were there. From 6 to 8, they had a private tour where they actually were allowing people in, and you could walk around and see everything.
Dude, that's pretty cool. Like, yeah. Were you able to go to that?
Yes. So it was, was real neat to kind of venture in, take a look around. And at that point I was really hobbling around, but neat to see.
Yeah. I can imagine having, you know, after that event, like hearing those stories and putting in all that work and doing, you know, workouts in their honor, like to walk around in those halls and see those pictures. And that sounds like it was pretty amazing.
It definitely was.
So I guess final question, like as you reflect back over having, done this event, the adversity you faced, you know, not getting the bolts, but still being able to toughen up and get back out for the basic and, you know, all that you went through, what's your big takeaway from all this?
I think my biggest takeaway is that you don't quit. I think life deals out adversity in different forms of fashion, whether it be injury, whether it be, you know, non-completion, maybe you weren't physically prepared for it. In my case, I had an injury that sidelined me. There was a lot of some GRTs that didn't show up for this event because we had had a ice storm of a paramount size here in Texas, in Houston, that week leading up to. In fact, that event was very much on the cusp of being scrapped because water was still on. We were still under a boil water notice here in Houston.
Oh gosh!
During that event, so and electricity just had came back on. I think most of the city was without electricity 2 days prior. So, you know, there was a lot of adversity there. But I think my main takeaway is that you look at what you did, look at what you can do better, and you move on from it. And you know, you kind of learn how to deal with it. For me, I said, hey, cool, we've got a heavy under the books. Let's tackle the next thing. And so the next thing is looking what other heavies, HTVs, are up on the dock and say, hey, if this one looks like a potential one, let's train up for it. So,
nice.
You know, just kind of get squared away, make a tactical readjustment, as Kadra Ham liked to say. That's what he called when we had to put down the litters and readjust the coupons on them, the tactical readjustment, reassessment, and, move on. So that's kind of how I look at it.
That's awesome, man. And so there's, on your calendar, there's some dates that you're looking ahead towards. Like what's the HTB that you've got your eye on?
You know, I got a good buddy. We did the bolts. He did the bolts with me. He's from Jersey. He has a good, you know, good feel, grew up, in a very small commuter town to New York. So the 20th anniversary this year for 9/11 is a big one for him. He wants to do it. And I think he's going to corral me. And by corral me, he said, hey, do you want to come? Yeah. And said, yeah, already. So,
yeah. I'll tell you what, man, if these interviews that I've been doing are any indicator, that is going to be a very full event.
Yeah.
Like everybody that I'm talking to is like, oh yeah, New York, 9/11.
Yeah.
So that's going to be awesome. I can't even imagine how amazing that event's going to be.
It's going to be crazy. And, you know, and it's so true. Everybody knows exactly where they were when that happened. To go out there on the 20th anniversary, you know, that's big for me. It's big to honor those people. You know, with my injured knee, I'm definitely going to be working on step ups. That's for sure. But, I'm real excited. So, you know, looking ahead, here we are at the end of February. We've got something in September. It's more than enough time to train, more than enough time to get your mind right and go in there with a, ready to face adversity.
Awesome. Well, Mike, man, I wish you all the best in getting out there for the 9/11. Get those bolts, get that knee taken care of, train smart, and man, we'll see you out there someday under the log, all right?
I appreciate it, Ryan. Thanks again for having me on.
Y'all, seriously, I think everyone is doing the 9/11 NYC events this year. We're going to have like 37 episodes just devoted to that event alone. But anyway, thanks for listening to this episode of Under the Log, where we talked with Mike Parent. If you'd like to see show notes, a transcript for the episode, or links to stuff we talked about, you can visit us on the website. That is underthelog.com. While you're there, you can find links to all our social profiles. You know we'd love to connect with you on there. And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And, you know, go ahead and click those stars if you like what you're hearing. Well, folks, with that, I guess I'll see you next time under the log.